a very good evening to you. And here we are once again on a Friday evening on Manx Radio, 9 o'clock. It can only mean one thing. It's time for the best music this side of anywhere, really. It's Sweet and Swing. And this evening, we'll be continuing to jazz the classics. More from Flanders and Swan, a bit of Jack Buchanan. But for now, get out of town. Don't take it personally. I don't mean it. Or if you are leaving town, just bring your radio or your laptop or your smart speaker or DAB radio, whatever the case may be. We're on all of these things. DAB, online, smartphone apps, AM 1368, FM 89, 89.5, 97.2, 103.7. Now the list goes on and on and on. Smart speaker. Don't understand half of them. You might just have a wireless, which is probably the best way, realistically. As long as you can hear me, that's the main thing. Lovely to have your company, as always, here on Sweet and Swing, our favourite spot of the week. Well, my favourite spot of the week, other than jumping in, and I hope it's yours as well. And if you haven't tried jumping in, You're feeling adventurous? Give it a whiz. Very different, I grant you, because it's the opposite end of the spectrum in many ways. It's modern and contemporary jazz. But you know what? Some of the artists we feature even here on Sweet and Swing, I think they would have enjoyed some of the music because an awful lot of them were very forward-looking and forward-thinking and would have moved with the times had they been able to go on forever, as we all wish we could, and none of us can. So, you know, try it out. You're not going to like everything. You might not like anything. I don't know, but it doesn't cost you anything realistically, does it? Give it a whiz. Go on. I dare you. Jumping in the sister programme to Sweet and Swing. Anyway, there we go. Nice way to get going. Get out of town. Jack Hilton with Dolly Elsie taking the vocals. And of course, Dolly Elsie, well known to Jack Hilton, particularly well known realistically because, of course, it was his younger sister. That's right. You remember that, don't you? I'm sure you do. First broadcast with Bertini in the early 1930s, and then married Bertini's drummer, Norman Vickers. Changed her name so that she didn't want to be very wisely known as sort of, oh yeah, Jack Hilton's little sister. So took a totally different stage name, but did stay with him for quite some time. Sang with his second orchestra, the Billy Turnant-led touring band. Also with Jack himself, as we heard there. During the war, she was with Billy Cotton, and with Charles Smart, the organ player, and his son Harold during their early morning programmes. And then when Jack hung up his baton, after several of the band were called up during the war, of course, that one from 1939, so this would be about 1940-odd, she became Billy Cotton's first permanent singer after Vera Lynn, yes, Vera Lynn, was shown the door after just a week, a few years earlier. Yeah, she had quite a few variety engagements, but then retired at the back end of the war. And very sadly, something I'm afraid remains true today, she had cancer and died relatively young, but a great voice and another sort of Rochdale accent, a northern accent that I think was quite popular in many ways as well. Crossing the continent next, we're going to do, this is another one I found, I don't know that I've dug this one out before, actually, a collection of some American big bands. Stan Kenton, Ray Anthony, Les Brown and his band of renown, of course, and this gentleman who we have featured once or twice before, but not, I think, from this collection, Billy May. And he's going to have, it might be a bit early in the evening for you, I don't know, or maybe too late. Cocktails for two. Thank you. nice version. That very nice indeed. Billy May and his orchestra. Cocktails for Two. And if you've never heard the Spike Jones take on that, it's worth digging out. I dare say if you haven't got the 78, the shellac, or the vinyl, or the CD, you might be able to find it online. As most things are these days, a quick sort of Google in someone like YouTube, and your chances are someone will have uploaded the vinyl. And look for, yes, it's just Spike Jones Cocktails for Two. A rather different take in the usual. They could all play the Spike Jones boys, but mad as a bunch of frogs. Wonderful. I remember the old maestro playing that one way back. It used to be quite a favourite, particularly the guy who sort of went... I can't do it, but you'd have to listen to it to get the gist of it, if you've ever heard Spike Jones and his City Slickers. More tracks are trashed as well with gay abandon, it has to be said. I mentioned Billy Cotton a while back. I thought, yeah, have we had Billy on recently? Doesn't jump to mind one way or another, so, well, we have or we haven't. Can you have too much Billy Cotton? Of course the answer's no, not on Sweet and Swing. And I don't remember playing this one for quite some time. Breezy on the vocals, Alan Breeze. Kiss Me Goodnight, Sergeant Major.
Private Jones came in one night, full of cheer and very bright. He'd been out all day upon the spree. He bumped into Sergeant Smeck, put his arms around his neck, and in his ear he whispered tenderly, "Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Tuck me in my little wooden bed. We all love you, Sergeant Major. When we hear you boring, surely don't forget to wake me in the morning and bring me round a nice hot cup of tea. Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, be a mother to me. Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Love me my poor plates of meat or sore. Oh, kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. And don't forget to shut the blinking door. I want to dream of dear old Happy Hempstead. The bull and bush ain't off the place for me, cork lino. Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, be a mother to me.
Quite a character. Breezy, Alan Breeze. And I'm just looking at a picture of him with Kathy Kay singing Any Old Iron from a 1963 Billy Cotton band show. He originally trained up as an opera singer, would you believe, but changed genres, and then went on to work with Billy for some 40 years. That's amazing, isn't it? 40, I can't quite imagine that, a long time. Longer than I've been at Manx Radio, put it that way. Quite a bit longer, as it turns out. Can't imagine that at all. But, yeah, you know what, being the way things are, ageism, don't know if you can get away with it now, but we still have ageism going on now, and certainly back in the day, well, it was a case of, yeah, you wouldn't have thought of it, but that was the way it worked if you got a bit too old. And it was Bill's Billy Cotton Jr., as it was then, who was a head of BBC Light Entertainment. So Billy's son, who decided that Alan was too old for the Billy Cotton Band Show. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? You always like to think times would have been nicer then, but no, not really. As I say, it's just the clothes that change. Human nature stays very much the same. So yes, so he worked 40 years with her dad, and then dad's son thinks, yeah, well, he's done 40 years, he's now too ancient for your show, so we're going to sack him off, which they did. And it's claimed that both he and Billy Sr. separately went home and cried, but the show went on. It didn't stop him sacking him, just went home and cried in any case. And then, of course, Billy, I think, Bill Cotton Sr. died at a boxing match. Big fan of the pugilistic arts, I believe, wasn't he? And all things speed and such like. And, yeah, died very suddenly watching a boxing match, which put an end to the whole thing. Billy Cotton Jr. went on for some time. But, yes, does sound a little harsh, doesn't it? Ageism and the entertainments and the arts and such like has gone on for a long time, hasn't it? And I sometimes think, well, maybe there's something to be said for quitting whilst you're on top. And a few people have famously done that. Artie Shaw, we often quote on this show, don't we? Who packed in when he was in his prime. Mostly because he was a perfectionist and such like. But so you're never remembered for anything other than being at the top of your game, which I suppose is something. But equally, you might have had years more in your career and who knows where you might have gone. Jess Stacy was one of those undersung heroes, I think, who contributed so much, particularly with Benny Goodman, of course, but a fine player in his own right. And this is a lovely little collection on the Living Era label of great performances between the mid-30s and mid-40s, which revels in the name of Ecstasy. Ecstasy. Yeah, yeah. See what he's done there. Good, isn't it? Down to Steamboat Tennessee finds him with Lee Wiley and also Muggsy Spanier.
Morning, baby, just for a day. Someone will get me and take me away. Dee 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 say I'm strange and queer. fortune teller to read what's on any man's mind. Don't have to be no fortune teller to read what's on any man's mind. And I'm glad to be going, and I ain't leaving too much behind.
Oh, it may be possible not to like that, but I can't really imagine it, whether you're a jazz fan or not. Beautiful, just lovely vocals, great playing from Muggsy Spanier, super sound from Lee Wiley on the vocals there. Just a perfect little trio, just everyone balancing out, no one hogging the limelight, everyone balancing out. And every word beautifully enunciated as well there, and a super bluesy feel. Steamboat Tennessee, down to Steamboat Tennessee, Lee Wiley on the vocals, Muggsy Spanier cornet, and Jess Stacey, the man whose album this is from, on the piano. And as Vic Willoughby remarks in the notes to this, Stacey's greatness, he says, as an accompanist, expanded as the musicians around him decreased in numbers. In the Commodore Studios with Lee Wiley and Muggsy Spanier, he produced support figuration of the highest standard in the singer's interpretation of Down to Steamboat Tennessee. Every vocal phrase anticipated and cushioned by the jazz piano of infinite subtlety and vital stimulation, as indeed are the solos of Muggsy Spanier. Can't disagree with that. Greater man than I. They're terrific stuff. Thoroughly enjoyable. Really like that one. Very nice indeed. It is Sweet and Swing H with you through until the top of the hour. Lovely to have your company as ever. And of course, anything you've liked, anything you don't like, anything you'd like to hear more of, or perhaps something you've not heard at all on the programme, or for an awfully long time, or something, a piece of music you've not heard, a favourite music back in the day, if that day was in the 30s or 40s, or perhaps into the 50s. I think we go that far. Dare I say 60s? Is that too modern? I don't know. Anyway, you know what I mean. If there's anything you'd like to get in contact about, please do drop me a line anytime you fancy. Howard Kane, and that's howardkane@manxradio.com. All one word, lowercase, Howard Kane. The Kane was with an E-C-A-I-N-E @manxradio.com. And let me know what you're thinking or anything you'd like to hear. It'd be lovely to hear from you. Very nice. Or, of course, cards of any kind or pieces of paper or letters, always very welcome. Battled and Bond, fag packets, lovely cards like from John, etc., etc. You know the drill. But do you like to put pen to paper? Not many people do these days, but it's a bit of a dying art, but lovely to see it in any case. And it's Howard Sweet and Swing, Manx Radio, Broadcasting House, Douglas Head, Douglas in the Isle of Man, and the postcode I, M for Mike, 15, B for Bravo, W for Whiskey is the postcode. Be lovely to hear from you. Jazz in the Classics then, our new little sort of retrospective. This is another one I blew the dust off. I've blown the cover off now as well. It's falling right off that CD. That's bad news, isn't it? I'd be in trouble for that. Well, I would be, were it not for the fact it's mine. Don't tell anyone. Jazzing the Classics, vintage style. One I found when I was trying to put them into some sort of order and failing. I need to sort of give up a few hours on a wet weekend one day and get them all sorted out. But Jazzing the Classics, living era CD, the music of Grieg, Chopin, Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff and Rimsky-Korsakov, performed by Tommy Dorsey, Frank Sinatra, Glenn Miller, Jimmy Dorsey, Bing Crosby, etc. Not all together in the same band, you understand, but sort of mixed. So what are we going to have? How about this one then? The Anvil Chorus. Yeah, normally spotted in the opera house. On this particular occasion, Glenn Miller and his orchestra. We'll be right back. Verdi like you've never heard him before, I suspect, and maybe won't again. Who knows? The Anvil Chorus, by Verdi, of course, but performed there by Glenn Miller and his orchestra, an arrangement by Jerry Gray. Terrific stuff, a great sound, I must admit, I really enjoyed that. Recorded in New York in 1940. Glenn Miller on trombone, of course, and then quite a few of the usual ones. Billy May features in there as well on trumpet, I think. And then you've got the likes of Tex Beneker on tenor sax and Chummy McGregor at the piano, Jack Lathrop on guitar, and Morris Perhill, or Pertill, on the drums. Great sound. I was looking at, there's all sorts of lovely tracks in here. We had the Blue Danube last week, didn't you? But there's also Song of India and Skater's Waltz in Swing Time. And I thought we might have John Kirby with his string, bass and orchestra. John Kirby and Anitra's Dance. Maybe we'll have that next week if I remember. Lovely song. I used to be able to play that on the piano back in the day. Suspect I can't now if I'm really honest. Anyway, we'll see. And now some Jack Buchanan. We haven't had Jack Buchanan on the show for quite some time. Another one that, as I've been trying to sort of correlate these CDs up here at the Black Satanic Tower, I keep bumping into things thinking, oh, I haven't seen that one before. Well, I don't think that's seen the light of day, judging by the layer of dust on the top, in quite some time. So this is quite a few living era. I know we used a lot of those CDs. I think they're still going. We get some great stuff from Avid these days. But in any case, this is Jack Buchanan, Elegance, and a great picture of Jack on the front of this one. And this is a happy little medley, I think. So what, 1, 2, 3, 4 tracks might feature there. See if you can recognise them.
I hated dancing till I met you. It never found me until I felt your arms around me. This craze for dancing, I loathed it too. But now I've got it badly, rather badly, just cause I met you. My car will meet her, and her mother comes too. It's a two-seater, still her mother comes too. And when they're visiting me, we finish afternoon tea. She loves to sit on my knee, and her mother does too. We buy her trousseau, and her mother comes too. Ask not to do so, still her mother comes too. She simply can't take a snub. I go and sulk at the club, then have a bath and a rub, and her brother comes too. Fancy a meeting, or just one fond greeting, when days are so fleeting and few. Paradise seeming, with no thought of scheming, a dream worth the dreaming come true. On a greeting we two. Ooh.
more on the other side if you think you can bear it.
Way ahead of her, ELO with Please Turn Me Over. Jack Buchanan back in... Have I got a date on this one? I think I might have. Let's take a look. Yeah, 1933. So he's about, I don't know, 50 years, 45 years out of ELO when they're Please Turn Me Over. More on the other side. You can think of one better. Wonderful stuff. Jack Buchanan, haven't had him on for quite some time. And as it suggests... I think it's Brian Rust wrote the notes, and he says quite pithily, when a major star arises in the American entertainment firmament, inevitably, it seems, one other arises in Britain, of whom it will be said he or she was Britain's answer to so-and-so. So thus, Al Bowley was Britain's answer to Bing Crosby, for example. Someone once implied that Jack Buchanan was England's answer to Fred Astaire. Well, it should be the other way around. And in any case, Jack Buchanan was a Scot. And also predated Fred Astaire. So yes, Fred copied Jack, not the other way around, it seems. So born in Helensburgh, he was in 1890, a decade earlier than Fred Astaire. And Jack's dad was an auctioneer. Young Jack started working life in the same capacity, but didn't last long. He tried to be a comedian of the stand-up kind. This is an early part of the 20th century. In Scotland. Ooh, that must have been hard work. Yeah, he didn't like it either by the looks of it, because that was fairly short-lived, and then decided London might offer better prospects for a young song and dance man, so he went there in 1913 and secured a position as understudy to Vernon Watson, later to become famous as, of course, do you remember? Vernon Watson became Nosmo King. Nosmo King, his name taken, so the story goes, from a pair of swing doors, which had the words "no smoking" written across them, but when you separated them, it said Nosmo on one side and King on the other, and that's where he decided to take his name. I love that thought, Nosmo King. Yes, so he worked with him, and then he appeared in the review of the Old Empire called All the Winners and was a great success. Tried to get into the forces. I know, you wouldn't think you'd want to, would you? But of course everyone did at the time, very patriotic. But he wasn't allowed to join the fighting forces in the First War because of medical reasons. So his next step was to understudy another person of great renown, Jack Hulbert, and Ivor Novello as well. The occasion was card of the audience, songwriter Ivor Novello. And after the performance, he introduced himself to the young Buchanan and suggested that he might call on George Grossmith when next in London. Jack did so, and was buoyed up at the prospect of meeting one of his idols. When the meeting took place, Grossmith immediately cast him in his own part when the show went on tour. All those little wonderful stories associated with some of these people, in any case. Might keep that one in the bag for now, shall we? Play another little bit of Jack Buchanan. Why not? I haven't had any for some time. Right, enough of my yakking, as they say. How about a little bit of The Man in the Pork Pie Hat? Lester Young. Good bit of swing stuff, I think, is what we need, isn't it? So how about this one, Swinging at Newport?
Thank you.
How about that then? The man in the pork pie hat, of course, Lester Young at Newport with Count Basie and the boys. So, yeah, not a bad little lineup, that is it, when you think about it. Lester Young with Count Basie as well. So, the likes of Frank Foster, Illinois Jacquet, Bill Graham, Charlie Foulkes. Who else was there? Thad Jones, Wendell Cudley, Henry Coker, Count Basie himself, of course, on piano, Freddie Green at the guitar, and Joe Jones, I think, on drums on that one as well. Not bad, eh? Not bad. Pretty good. Pretty good lineup, I would say. Wouldn't have minded seeing that band live. And as you can hear from the audience, went down rather well. Right, we better have a bit of Flanders and Swan before we run out of time. So we've been looking, or having a dip into a wonderful box set, the complete Flanders and Swan. I used to love them as a child, and we also used to do them in cabaret a bit, my brother and the old maestro and myself back in the day. And I've been trying to concentrate a bit more on some of the lesser heard ones. That said, I think there's something to be said for playing some of the slightly better known ones as well. So here's one we did used to do, and you might know it as well.
Animal song. A year ago, last Thursday, I was strolling in the zoo when I met a man who thought he knew the lot. He was laying down the law about the habits of baboons and the number of quills a porcupine has got. So I asked him, "What's that creature there?" He answered, "Yeah, it's a helk." I might have gone on thinking that was true, if the animal in question hadn't put that chap to shame and remarked, "I ain't a helk, I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu, I'm a gnu. The gnicest worker good nature in the zoo. I'm a gnu, how do you do? You really ought to canoe wahoos wahoo. I'm a gnu, spelt G-N-U. I'm not a camel or a kangaroo. So let me introduce, I'm neither man or moose. So gnu, 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 I'm a gnu." I had taken furnished lodgings down at Rustington-on-Sea, whence I travelled on to Ashton-under-Lyme, it was actually. And the second night I stayed there, I was wakened from a dream, which I'll tell you all about some other time. Among the hunting trophies on the wall above my bed, stuffed and mounted, was a face I thought I knew. A bison?
No, it's not a bison.
An okapi? It's unlikely, really. Could it be a hearty beast? Then I seem to hear a voice. I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. A gnother gnu. I wish I could gnash my teeth at you. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to know wahoos, wahoo. I'm a gnu, spelled G-N-U. Call me bison or a copy and I'll sue. Gnor am I in the least like that dreadful, hearty beast. Oh, gnu, gnu, gnu. Gnu, 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 I'm a gnu. Gnu, gnu, gnu. I'm a gnu.
Absolutely classic stuff, and as I say, we used to do that one back in the day in a cabaret. Dad and my brother and myself, amongst others, The Gas Man Cometh and Transport of Delight. And we might feature those. There's so many, but there's so many that for every one that sort of became a big hit, there were a few that maybe didn't make it to the same degree of popularity. So this was from the album A Drop of a Hat. From 1956, I think that was, the Palace Gardens Terrace at Notting Hill Gate, the new Lindsay Theatre, where the Drop of the Hat first saw the dark of night, as it said. Sadly, the theatre was pulled down many years ago, so you won't actually see it there anymore. But this is where they first started with their Drop of a Hat, which became a series then for 11 years as they went on. Amazing stuff. After the second week, apparently, a third week was booked and they were getting £40 a week. £40, yes. A pair of managers arrived and suggested that our heroes took their fortune theatre and took their fortune to the theatre and continue there. The Fortune Theatre, that was, vast compared with the new Lindsay, capacity of 350, but a good size for cabaret entertainment, and was situated opposite the stage door of Drury Lane Theatre, where I was quite recently, actually. They opened there at the Fortune in January of 1957. On the opening night, it was full. The second and third nights, again, somewhat sparse, and after that, a sellout for over 2 years, well into 1959. And it's reported that one night, almost the entire royal family was there, singing Mud, Mud, Glorious Mud, with all the commoners. Would have been worth being there for that, wouldn't it, seeing the Queen and the royal family singing Mud, Mud, Glorious Mud. The Hippopotamus, as it's actually known, soon became a classic folk music, I suppose, and the one we've just heard, the Gnu. As it says, always pronounced these days like a two-syllable word, gnu. I think it used to be gnu originally, doesn't it? Gnu, I don't know how you pronounce it originally. I've always pronounced it gnu, it has to be said. And it was the sort of act where it would go across all barriers, really, you know, every which way. So there was no sort of, it wasn't aimed at the upper class, the lower class, it was everyone. All sorts of people went there. I think the phrase was sui generis, without genre. And I'm told that one night, the then Prime Minister Harold Macmillan was there and asked how it was the two of them could hold an audience for 2 hours when he, the Prime Minister, couldn't hold the Commons for more than 20 minutes. Michael Flanders said, try singing to them. Thank you. that's about it for this week. I'm away sunning myself at the moment, but fear not, I will be back next time for another Sweet and Swing. Until then, cheerio.